First off, before I begin this review, I'm going to give a friendly PSA, little thing for all you theater goers out there, or how you guys like to think of it as daycare. I am Kyle Lira of Red Spotlight Entertainment. I love movies, okay? That is my utter, you know, that is where my heart live. Or how in the movie it said three hearts. Anyway, back to the whole kit and caboodle of it all. Fuck you all who bring your children to the fucking movie theaters. I mean, yes, I get it. This is a kid-friendly movie. It is a movie aimed for kids, but not for your snot-nosed little brats that you bring in, thinking, oh, this is a movie that will shut them out for, I don't know, 2 hours, alright? Listen, I've waited 13 years to watch this film, and for you guys to fucking ruin it for me, fucking irritates the living shit out of me. Listen, all you millennials who got pregnant at the age of 16, if you want a damn break to watch this movie, then guess what? You guys should have used condoms, or guess what? Not procreate at all. Fuck you all for ruining my movie experience. Thank you. Roll the intro. Hello guys, welcome to Red Spotlight Entertainment After Dark. We just got out of Finding Dory. Critically acclaimed movie thus far. Well, all you critics who have watched the movie,
you're lucky.
You guys are lucky dickheads that got special private screenings. Special private screenings that I'm guessing, for the love of God, you didn't have any kids. Oh my God, isn't that fantastic? You guys didn't have any kids to watch it with. Isn't that special? Isn't that lucky? So, Alexis, we watched Finding Dory, yes?
No.
No, we didn't. No. Guess why? Guys, you fucking millennials, bring your fucking kids and your Starbucks little holding Bluetooth little wearing.
May I? Are you soon? Okay.
I like my spot in the movie theaters. I do. It's right there in the front. You know, not too close, but just at the front. And guess where all the millennials decide to slap drop their little infancy, or how I like to call it, the infantry. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, right there, right at the infant center, where I like to be. Alright, so, the plot of the movie is Dory, all of a sudden, she finds, you know, it's a year later after the first Finding Nemo, and she all of a sudden remembers that she has a family. So she goes on this trek, and then she meets the goddess Sigourney Weaver, and she is in a SeaWorld-esque area, except no exploitation of animal life. And meanwhile, you have Marlin and Nemo, and they go in, and they help her out. Alexis, what did you think of the movie?
Can I go now?
Yes, you can.
You saw Kyle's dramatic opening. And that, let me just be very clear. Some of you may be thinking this is a bit ridiculous. I got news for you. We're not being out of line. We are fully aware that this is a Disney and Pixar film. That this is a sequel to Finding Nemo. A movie that has been seen by everyone. We were expecting kids. We have seen movies with kids. We were kids at a certain point in our lives. And so we're accustomed to seeing movies with kids. We know that a lot of them, in fact, may be a bit hard to handle. And so we manage our expectations. In fact, I told you before walking into this movie, we have to be prepared for this. Honest to God, we tried. We tried. But a little bit over halfway into this movie, I snapped. And I wanted to get up, scream at everybody, and walk out while holding my middle finger to their faces. And why is that? Well,
because they wouldn't shut up!
A movie theater, as far as I am concerned, is not a playground. We were in, I would say, the center of the theater. And in the entire row behind us, of course, the children would have to sit there. But what we were subjected to was while the movie was playing. In fact, why don't you go ahead and just talk? Whatever, okay? Let's say you're giving a line.
I'm afraid to talk.
Mommy! What is Dory doing? And then, oh, wait for it. We're sitting down, watching the movie, trying to ignore all this. And then our chairs get kicked. Several times. And for a while, you think, man, is it just the row behind us? And is it just coming from one single person? No, it didn't. It came from the whole theater. The sound that all of these people were giving off challenged, and in fact rivaled, the sound system in that theater. And you must think, well, it must not be a very good sound system. No, you're mistaken.
It is. Okay, let me tell you guys this. It is one of the best sound systems. I've been to a shit ton of theaters everywhere. I've been to one in the Philippines. We have the best speaker system. And guess what? For some mundane reason, they decided, you know what? We need to be louder than this movie. We need to be 10 times louder than this movie.
And we also have to be speaking and making noises while there are very important sequences going on. Because you know what? At some point, people just gave up. They did. And they just talked over everything, contributing to the overall noises that the children were getting.
Instead of telling their little sweet little precious angels, their little sweet cakes, to shut the fuck up.
You see, and that's the problem. Not once did we hear anybody, and none of the parents, that calmed them down. I'm not kidding you. The one consistent child that I could keep hearing was, Why should we be subjected to that? If, for whatever reason, your child is giving off that incessant noise, get him out. Just because you have to suffer through that does not mean that we have to suffer through that. We did not sign up for your child or whatever. We shouldn't have to be punished. We go to the theater to have a great time.
This is why Trump is winning.
You know what? At this point, it wouldn't surprise me. The reality is, people, the third act, which we'll get to, saved this experience somewhat for us. But at the end, this man who loves the theater, who loves movies, and appreciates them more than anybody I know, said to me that he felt robbed of a movie experience that he has waited 13 years for. Shame on all the people who were talking through this. Shame on their children, and shame on them for not shutting them up. We were absolutely miserable. And we could not get into this movie until 2/3 into it. And you must think, well, maybe that's the movie's fault. Good luck trying to convince yourselves of that. And if you think that we're in any way being a bit dramatic, I'm sorry.
Now no. All those Twitter things.
You dare not call us dramatic. We know what we're getting into. We know what we signed on for. But this is absolutely outrageous. I dare you to sit in that theater, try to get into that movie, with all of these people. I gotta tell you, I've never been in a theater where a fucking circus surrounded me. It was a goddamn circus. Popcorn flying. Somebody was playing the goddamn drums and beating the damn steps. People were just casually speaking. And we shouldn't have to go through that. This shouldn't happen. It's absolutely ridiculous and not fair to us. So be aware that we're going to try our best to review this movie. But to say that we can actually give a full review of this would be a bit unrealistic considering the hell that we went through. We are going to see it again, for sure. But right now, you are looking at raw anger. This is the second year in a row I see a Pixar movie.
And the thing is, guys, is that it shouldn't be like this. No. We should be overcome with joy to see Ellen DeGeneres, Albert Brooks, Ed O'Neill. But no, we are not. All right? So we are going to review this movie as subjectively as we can without all the undertones of all these parents who think that this was a babysitting service. A movie is something for everybody in the world to enjoy and not for you to say, maybe this movie might shut them up for a couple of minutes.
And one thing I just want to say very important. One day I hope to be a father. And one day I want to have children. And beyond this exterior that I share with many of my friends who may know
me, I will beat the living shit out of my child.
I love children. But I'm never going to bring him into a theater until he's old enough to be self-aware. Old enough to understand that when you go to a public place, you will be respectful and understand what is required of you. That little piece that's required of you, just stay quiet. If my kid can't do that, if he can't behave himself, I'm not going anywhere near a theater with him. I am not going to subject strangers and rob them of their movie experience. Shame on you if you do that. Because we know what that means. You don't give a fuck about anyone around you. And it's about damn time you realize that it ain't just about you. It's not. It's about everyone. Wake the fuck up and realize that everything you do affects every single person around you. And if you don't, I mean, I don't know how you could sit through that and not get upset. Anyway, let's just get into this movie, okay?
Let's get into the review, okay? One year after Nemo.
Oh my god, you've lost it. You have snapped. Wow.
Okay. Let me think about this movie. Okay, so it took place 1 year after Nemo. The animation was stunning. For those who are comparing it to Toy Story 2, I could kind of see it. It's because in the retrospect, in the first Toy Story, it only stayed to 4 locations throughout. And so pretty much the entire thing in Toy Story 1 is the fact that it was you know, mostly in a bedroom of some sorts. And that's what Finding Nemo was. It was mainly in the ocean and a tank, and it was alternating between the two. But in this one, you were fucking everywhere around this marine theme park thing. And it's like jumping from one aquarium to the next, and you're everywhere, you know. And then you had a Dory who's looking for her parents, like we said before we went on that lovely rant. She meets this curmudgeon octopus
named Hank,
played by Ed O'Neill. His demeanor was the exact demeanor that we had throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Which made him more relatable.
Yeah.
I guess. But nevertheless, he was a well-written character. You had this past, and I love how he's shrouded by mystery about the past, and how he lost a tentacle or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the ambiguity of why he's like that.
And he has a nice arc, too.
Yeah. And you have Dory, who was, I thought that the, forget-me-not kind of humor was gonna be really dry.
It could have worn thin real quickly.
Yeah, but no, it actually worked really good. And for her, for it to be the subject matter of this main character, it really serviced well, and I really like that.
Which honestly, when you look at Nemo and you think Dory, can she really carry her own movie?
Yeah, and then we were proven wrong.
Yep.
And then you have a Marlin and Dory, I mean, Marlin, Nemo. Marlin and Nemo, which, you know, it's the,
Chico.
Yeah, Fabio, Elmo, you know, whatever. And you had a Nemo and Marlin, and I was like, okay, we haven't seen this before. I wonder how this is going to, they work pretty good. They work really stellar. You know, they, I like this father-son dynamic thing going on this cross track. I mean, by and large, these movies are road trip movies, and you have to take that with you have to take it as it is. You know, these are road trip movies. You had the first movie, which is Beavis and Butthead Do America, but except without all the Beavis and Butthead isms. You know, and then in this one, it's you're freaking everywhere. You know, I like that because in Toy Story 2, it felt like the world is larger beyond their bedroom. You know, they were like in the airport. You know, they were in the apartment complex. They were traveling down the street, which they did. You know, and you made that connection too. The animation, I have to say, is beyond amazing. I mean, the way that they made the water look, it surprisingly outdid itself from Finding Nemo. You know, I like how we thought that, you know, Nemo in the water illusions was perfect, but no, this is like, damn, that is quality water right there. That is quality water right there. So if we ever make it big, if they on the Blu-ray special edition cover of Finding Dory, it's just said that's damn quality water right there. That's what it should say on the back. But anyway, I thought this move, aside from everything we ranted about in the beginning of the review, I think that the movie was good. You know, it wasn't, I didn't feel as emotionally connected to this one.
How could you?
I mean, besides that, I didn't feel quite emotionally connected to this one mm-hmm. than I did in the first one. The first one I did. Let me go into spoil. First off, general consensus of what did you think about the movie? Aside from the obvious.
It's a worthy sequel to Finding Nemo. Rest assured, it's going to be hard for anyone to walk out not liking it. I think it was, for me, it was great, even while all the things that were going on. I can't wait to see it again. I think overall, this is a funnier movie than Nemo. I did think there were more emotional beats in this movie, if you like Dory, I think most people will be able to connect to it. There were a couple of moments where I got chills, and I probably would have cried if there weren't for the whole circus that was surrounding me. So I do think, overall, this movie gave me everything that I wanted. Why is it every time that I talk? Okay. This movie gave me everything that I wanted. Everyone go and see it. It's Pixar. Nobody does sequels like them. Well, not nobody, but you know what I mean. You're going to have a damn good time. Everybody will like it. I think it'll just depend on every individual whether or not they like it as much as Nemo, if not more or not less. My first viewing, I will say, as a movie, I wouldn't say it's as good as Nemo, even though there are individual parts in Dory that I think may surpass Nemo.
Yeah.
Although, I am going to watch it again, but seriously, even if it's not as good as Nemo, this is a great story all on its own. It may be similar, in fact, to the first movie, but you know, I kind of feel if you watch Nemo and Dory back to back, there are a lot of things that really go. One of the parts that, well, I think we'll go into spoilers right now, one of the parts that you and I really liked, that was cool in the beginning of the movie, where you see Dory.
Oh yeah, okay, I love the part where she's going through her entire life. All right, she's going through her entire life.
She's lost in the ocean.
She's lost in the ocean, and then all of a sudden you see the boat that takes Nemo in the first movie, you know, surpass her, and she bumps into
Marlin
for the first time. And the nostalgia goggles automatically came back on, and I was like, that's cool.
That was cool.
That's cool, seeing basically Shoffer. I don't know if they reuse the animation, but just polished it up a bit, or if they redid it.
They probably redid it, I think.
And if that be the case, and that's damn unbelievable, recreating, you know. So I think that was pretty cool. I like the part, you know, now that we're in spoilers, I really love the end credit scene where
there's an end credit scene, by the way.
The end credit scene when the tank gang from the first movie, they finally make it to, I think it's like Monterey or something like that, California, where the SeaWorld land is.
The Marine.
And then they're like this, finally, we made it, guys. And then they automatically get taken up and, you know, to go into the thing. And then all of a sudden they're like this, now what? Like they did in the movie. It was, my God.
One of the biggest laughs you'll ever have.
It was an amazing cameo from all of them. My God, they must have, I want to see a movie about their journey.
That would be pretty boring. I mean, you know, they just crossed the ocean.
Dude, they went from Sydney, which is all the way across the other pond, all the way to California. Dude, that's by plane. That's 17 hours.
That's the third movie.
That's the, yeah. What a trilogy, man. What a trilogy.
I'd see it.
Finding Somewhere.
The supporting characters were all great. Hank, I love.
Hank was good. I surprisingly liked the parents, Dory's parents.
I know, yeah, they were really good. And then also Bailey and,
Yeah, Bailey and, Destiny.
Yes.
Destiny the whale.
Destiny, I love how they used her. And, I mean,
I love how they made her name a pun.
They used Dory really great. I mean, a lot of people had a lot of, reservations about another side character being pushed in the front. But you know what? Honest to God, all that we knew of Dory was enhanced in this movie. And it may even enhance what we know about them in Nemo. I just feel like if you love Dory, you'll love this movie. And I really loved every little bit of her short-term memory loss of her parents being protected.
Oh my God. My heart melts when I see little Dory.
Right?
She's a little freaking... She's a little... She's like... I'm sorry, mommy and daddy. Like, just the way that she's so sympathetic, you know, and, I, you know, take it from the, you know, minds of a child, which is fucking ironic, but anyway, let me go back into the review. I you know, I really love little kid Dory, and I love that, you know, I just love the whole, you know, the trepidations that she's going through. You know, I think that was key important, you know, all that. The thing about this movie and the other sequel that Pixar did, the atrocity named Cars 2, is that this movie had no intentions of selling merchandise and for promoting a theme park.
And it was good.
And it was good. Yeah.
And it didn't spoil people's feelings of the first movie. In fact, it may have enhanced it. I mean, it's a worthy sequel. This doesn't take a shit on what came before it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, now we're spies now all of a sudden.
Spyfish. That's all we needed, right? Imagine the plot to Cars 2, and if Dory did that.
Okay, if we saw this movie, and that was the plot, and with everything going around, I would have fucking lost it. I would have fucking lost it. Anyway, what did we think of the short? Piper, I think. That's the name, right?
It's cute. It's really, I mean.
It's really cute. I don't think, to me, my favorite short thus far has got to be either Gary's Game or a Lava. Just cause it was an emotionally, you know, driven, but it was cute. It was really cute, and I think it kind of tied in with what was going on in Finding Nemo. Yeah, and Nemo, I think what was with the little bird trying to find himself, kind of thing.
And the animation,
my God, I think, you know, sometimes I don't like these shorts because at times the animation is better than the movie. I mean, just look at the foam bubbles and look at the sand, dude. The freaking sand. You could freaking see all the little grains of sand. It was just amazing. And you could see all the feathers of the bird. I thought that was pretty cool. I think that was pretty cool, seeing all that. From an animation standpoint, it has got to be amazing. I think it's like what they took with Good Dinosaur, and they stepped it up a notch. Any last thoughts?
I mean, I'm sorry we couldn't give you a more enthusiastic review. That's all I can tell you. I'm sorry for that, guys. I mean, we tried. We really did. But we still liked it.
Yeah.
I mean,
at least.
At the very least, but thank you for listening to us. It means a lot that anybody cares. Just go ahead and watch this movie. I guarantee you'll like it.
Just wait a couple of weeks.
Anything else, Frank? I'm done with this.
Now what?
Somewhere beyond the sea.